At 9:32 this Tuesday morning, great to have your company. 51551 is the text number. Let me say good morning to Shaniva Kelly. Good morning, Shaniva.
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Nice to talk to you today.
Yeah, very nice to be here. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Your story is one that will, I just think it will pique people's interest, because why don't we go back to, let's go back to May 2016. Would that be right? You were studying then as a young 17-year-old?
Yes, 2015, yeah.
And tell me what you're up to.
I was in Armagh SRC studying beauty therapy at the time, with the goal to be a beautician. And then unfortunately had to leave the course early. The course wasn't supposed to be finished until June, July, and then I had a car accident in the May, so I had no choice then, obviously, but to come out of the course early then.
Of course, because you had suffered injuries in the car accident.
Yes, so I broke my right arm, my humerus, and which resulted in me then needing titanium plates and screws.
So was your arm functioning after the crash?
It is now, yes. For the first year, maybe 2 years, it was a lot of recovery and trying to, you know, lift things and hold things and get used to everything again.
Yeah.
I got used to using my left hand, so I was kind of ambidextrous for a while.
Yeah. You had to reimagine how useful your hands were, one left, one right. Fix it all
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You never kind of realise how difficult it is. And even still now, I would try, you know, still do things with my left hand. And it is quite different, yeah.
Of course. So you had, I presume, what was it, nerve damage? Is that what it was, in the arm?
Yeah, so the bone had completely shattered. And because of that, when they'd done the surgery, they weren't sure if the arm was going to be any use, you know, if it would be able to do anything or what way. So it was kind of a trial and error to see what way it would turn out in the end. So thankfully, with physio and a lot of work, I was able to use my arm. So still in the winter time and stuff, that's whenever I would feel the pain, but stuff like that doesn't really bother me at all now. You know, as long as I have my arm here and I can use it again, I'm just more than happy for that.
Of course. Was there any talk of amputation at any stage? Do you mind me asking you?
At the start of it, the consultant or surgeon who had came to see us had explained how bad of a break it was and that amputation could be a thought. And we would try surgery and everything first, you know, before obviously we go down that path. So thankfully, that was ruled out then after the surgery.
Scarring, Shaniva, was that an issue?
Sorry?
Was scarring an issue?
Yeah, I have a scar down the back of my arm now, obviously where they had to go in and place the plates and screws.
Hmm. And was that, I mean, the physicality of that, was that an issue in terms of appearance? I mean, given the age you were at, maybe you might be slightly more conscious of it than the age you are now.
I think, honestly, that was probably the hardest part of it all.
Yeah. Why was that?
I'm not too sure. Just any time, like, you know, there would be people who would notice the scar and approach you and say, my goodness, like, what's happened? You know, that's terrible. And it's like, thanks for the reminder, you know.
Yeah.
So I would just then cover it up and that's it. You know, nothing said, nothing done. That's no problem.
It's amazing, isn't it, Shaniva, how some people, mostly those without a filter, feel comfortable taking on somebody else's scar or mark on their face or whatever it might be and saying, what's that?
Like, I know,
it's remarkable.
People, yeah, they can be very forward, definitely, but I suppose, you know, there's millions of people out there, so you're gonna meet all types.
Very philosophical
you just,
of you.
Yeah, you just have to deal with it.
And now, with a car accident and a car crash like that, and to be serious again for a moment, the after effects psychologically must weigh heavily and did they on you in terms of, I don't know if PTSD is too strong an expression in your case, I don't know the nature of it, but did you find you had problems in terms of going out, in terms of travelling, in terms of facing the world?
Yeah, I definitely suffered quite a lot with the mental side of it all.
Okay.
I was 17 at the time, so appearance was one thing to me, and then trying to get over the fear of being in public transport or being in a car, and I hadn't started my driving lessons or anything back then, so when that happened then, I didn't want to ever drive. And now I've passed my test.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so it was very hard to overcome that fear and try and, you know, I was seeing a psychiatrist a few times.
Good.
And there was mention of PTSD on the cards because of how I had sort of like trigger points.
What was a trigger point for you?
So I suppose this time 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I actually wouldn't have probably been able to sit and talk about this to somebody without tearing up or finding it, you know, difficult reliving back in that time. So it's been a big journey trying to overcome all of that and just try and get back to normal as much as I can.
You're on the way. You've
focused
got
on myself.
You're on the right road.
Yeah.
and when I spoke to you a minute ago about the beauty dreams of being a beautician, were they really kind of put to the wayside then ultimately?
I give it a go after about a year or two. After the accident, I'd went back, I'd worked in a few salons, I still really loved it, so I wanted to, you know, back then that was my normality, so I wanted to get back at that, so I tried a few different salons, I've went on makeup courses, I would do makeup on myself and my friends and family and stuff, you know, which I still, I get to enjoy it in that way, but the beauty industry just wasn't for me anymore.
Okay.
I think maybe because I'd lost so much confidence, and it's quite a competitive industry, you know. There's a lot of beauticians out there, amazing ones at that, so I just figured out then, you know, maybe that's not for me, if there's something else down the line, so thankfully I found that.
And this brings us back to 9-year-old Shaniva and a Barbie video camera, and how how what should be just a simple present from Santa can become, you know, little did you know how profound that present would be now at the age of 23 after the story you've just told us, it would come back to haunt you for all the right reasons.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. I've always had kind of an obsession with cameras and photography and life through the lens as such. That's why my motto is life through the lens, because you can capture so many different parts of the world in different ways, you know, through big lens, small lens, you know, from points of view that you would never get to see with a naked eye. So it's just something that's really incredible. Plus you're capturing those moments forever then, you know.
Yeah. And that's where the photography then came back into your world in a very meaningful way. You also got another present from your other half a few years ago as well, and that brought you into the world of Canon cameras. So now we're getting away from Barbie into Canon, into serious stuff, and then throw in a pandemic. And yet, strangely, all these roads were to lead to where you're at today, which is where?
Yeah, thankfully, now I'm a freelance photographer and I'm doing what I love every day, and I honestly couldn't be happier. So I think that was probably the best present I've got, the 3 years ago with my camera, because that just got me, you know, I hadn't had one from when I was a child, just on the phones, which probably in the next 10 years most photographers will be using their phones because they're so advanced now for their cameras.
Yes.
But getting that camera again just got me exploring it and getting to know it, and, you know, seeing it obviously from an adult's point of view than a child, you could understand a whole lot more. So even right down to taking the camera apart and cleaning it, like, I enjoy every single part of it, because
oh, lovely.
It's just so fascinating how good any camera is.
Yeah. And you know, we all think we're photographers now, rubbish photographers mostly, with our phones and filtering and terrible photos from too close, too far, too whatever. I think actually because everyone thinks they're a photographer now, when I see a proper photographer like yourself taking a picture, I go, oh, that's why you're a photographer. No, sorry, right, that's, you know what you're doing. The rest of us are just busking.
Yeah, well, that's it. I took, at the start of the year, February, I actually went on and done a photography course with the Prince's Trust Northern Ireland.
Great.
And they're like a non-profit organisation. So they had done, they had done a business course, which I had always wanted in myself to do something for myself that I enjoyed, but
yeah.
I just wasn't sure what that was yet. Obviously, through lockdown, I was doing more photography out and about, and just, you know, you had that extra bit of free time. So when I'd done the course for the business course, the photography one had come up at the same time. So I thought, oh, well, I may as well do this one too. So I knew that if I wasn't going to make a business out of it, I was going to learn a lot from it. So it would be a win-win situation regardless. So after taking it then in February, I really enjoyed it and I just bit the bullet and took it that step further and I haven't looked back, thankfully.
That is a great news story, Shaniva. Congratulations on it all. And people can go on Facebook and look up Shaniva Kelly Photography and it's all there. Good luck with it all, Shaniva. And thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Delighted to talk
to
you.
Have a lovely day.
Very same to you. That's a lovely, lovely story of overcoming that horrible accident and to find redemption on the other side. It's great stuff. At 44 minutes past 9, that is to say, it's nearly a quarter to 10.